see if I could get you guys to think I was frozen.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Finero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 216. Seems like a lot of episodes. Seems like we've been dangling here for a long time, though, at the same time. Like, how the hell are we not at 220?
That was exactly what I was thinking when you said that. It was like, this from 200 to 216 felt like the entire season.
It's weird. It's slowing down.
I haven't been able to recover from the rookie profile pace we were at. And then it's been throwing me all out of whack.
Yeah.
That's probably exactly what it is.
It's that, and I think it's the relentless pursuit of the top 12. I really think that there's a certain grind to the bind that talking about the top 12 the way we do every week puts us in, quite honestly.
That's fair.
There is a small part of me that's excited to be done with it, quite honestly. And there's a certain ease to it. We've talked about this before. There's a certain ease to the top 12 because we know what we're doing every week, but there's also like a certain grind to the top 12 where you're just like, oh, I have to get all the top 12 together. We have to do this. We have to get the scores. It's like tedious and repetitive. And I think that like there's and it's I enjoy it, you know. We've created it. This you have to monster.
You have to be like an even amount of reactionary versus non-reactionary, right? Like you can't overreact to a rookie being on this list. You can't overreact to a rookie being higher than he probably ever will be or lower than he ever will be on the list. They're just blips on the radar for a rookie. The whole season can sometimes be a blip in their careers, and we just look at every snap and every single reception, and we know each of one. You nailed it. It's a grind, but I think that makes us very, very familiar with these rookies.
And I think like they end up holding a special place with us as well. Like we get attached to some of these rookies over the years and watch them closer, even if we don't have that attachment. You mentioned Jalen Reagor before we really hit the mic, and even players like that, like you'll kind of just be like, damn it, Jalen Reagor, even in the negative ways, like just from watching them so closely. And that's part of what we're doing is watching this first part of their career to try to project what the rest of it might look like in the end. But here, as always, with the feverish Finero and FF underscore spaceman. Dave, you've been a little quiet.
Because I was actually looking up, I was deep diving into a stat here. So now I'm focused.
Is it about the ish, the Rondell Moore-ish?
No. I'm officially going on a little diet. I've been a little gluttonous in my Rondell Moore talk.
Ooh, I like
lighten
that.
The load a little bit. And just, I don't want to, you know, I have my feelings, and I'm just going to try to stay a little slim around the holidays with my Rondell Moore love. But it's not dying. It's not fading. It's just, I'm going to store deep inside.
That stat you were looking at, Spaceman, was it sticky?
No, it was not. It was totally subjective, and it's for a segment that we're going to have later on that I did not create.
Ooh,
that's one of my favorite terms, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It makes sticky you just
stat.
Sound.
The sticky like, stat. Sticky.
That's like a wet the, I have a sticky note, and it's got Jalen Reagor and Finero's name, and then Rondell Moore and Dave's name.
you know when you're like 10 or under, like the word penis makes you crack up as a kid. Doesn't matter. Anybody says the word penis, you start cracking up. Sticky stat kind of makes me think like it's just a fun term. Sticky stat. I probably shouldn't say sticky and penis in the same reminiscent way, but whatever. Sticky stat.
That's a new intro right there. That's Fornero's new intro, sticky penis stat.
Boy.
I just wanted to get this show started off right.
I think we nailed it. And that has nothing to do with anything sticky.
Or a penis.
What? I'm not going to say.
Number 12 this week, out of the bye week, Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 39, 10.1 points, 4 receptions, 6 targets, 61 yards. I'm not mad at you, but Swags. I'm still not saying your name the way we did earlier.
Yeah, screw that.
I was about to say, I was waiting for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's somewhere in between, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Screw that. 61 yards does not get you out of the doghouse. Amon-Ra!
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because I put this together. I know you guys look at this. Dave, I know you're crunching your numbers. Jalen Waddle, 4 receptions, 6 targets, 61 yards. Well, that's the same thing that Amon-Ra St. Brown had, you know? Then you look at Devontae Smith, 4 receptions, 6 targets, 66 yards. So he had 5 more yards. He had those 2 touchdowns. I'm not taking those away from fantasy and what that did to his points on the week, but same freaking stats minus the touchdowns. And I'm not saying Amon-Ra St. Brown is Devonta Smith here.
You know what the difference is? 4 receptions,
6 targets, 61 yards.
There's a difference. There's a big difference. Amon-Ra St. Brown's getting 4 receptions for 61 yards is his ceiling. And Jalen Waddle gets that, and it's his floor. That's the difference.
Hey, they needed some plays, though, down the stretch in that crap game versus Pittsburgh, and they were going to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not that there was many other people to go to, but they were trying to get him the ball. So that's something. I'm trying to say it's positive a little bit. That's something.
No, I mean, I'll say this. I want to see what happens down the road, but I want you guys to be – keep me level-headed here, and I feel like the targets that he could continue to get throughout the season, he's kind of a sell to me at this point, but I don't think he can lose much more value going into the off season. So I'm kind of waiting to see what will happen and just that team in general. But I mean, it's really not all that bad. We've seen worse rookie seasons turn into something better. And this is an absolute shithole of a situation for any rookie wide receiver, quite honestly.
Fair enough.
It's going to like his targets are like fast food targets. You know, you were expecting those that immediate production year one from Amon-Ra because of the situation, and we've seen it. Some of those calories are empty, some of those targets are empty coming in the Detroit situation here. So we're looking for a little bit more healthy and meaningful targets in the future for Amon-Ra.
Through 10 weeks, how many touchdowns does he have?
0.
Exactly.
Ooh, I just guessed.
Yeah.
Easy, though, right? It's pretty easy. Got to do some more guessing. How many receptions? Over or under 30?
Over.
Yeah, 31.
Boom.
Whoa,
he's close. A fun rookie to talk about or not talk about. Number 11.
Jalen Waddle. Wide receiver 38, 10.1 points, 4 receptions, 6 targets, 61 yards. I'm excited to see Jalen Waddle and Tua this weekend with Tua knowing he's starting.
Big play, too. I've been critical at times, or, you know, all the time of Waddle. and I said I was looking for more explosive plays. Well, he had an explosive play in that game on Thursday night, went over 30 yards, and that's what you want to see. Like, that was a big play. Good. That's a part of his game that I wanted to see, and I was happy to see it.
84 yards on the – I'm sorry, 84 targets on the season. 10th best in the league. More than Deontay Johnson. More than Justin Jefferson. Targets, targets, targets.
Yeah. And I mean, all of our leagues are PPR these days. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. That's pretty sweet. And I think those targets will get better. I'm curious to see what happens with Tua in 2022, but I think that most other NFL teams are going to be smart enough to see what I see.
I'm still recovering from the drama of 2021. I can't deal with any more heartburn of Tua drama in 2022.
Yeah. I feel bad for the kid, honestly. But
same. I like Tua, so.
Number 10, Jamar Jefferson, running back 33, 10.85 points, 3 attempts, 41 yards, 1 touchdown, still the same for me here. Jamar Jefferson, really quick, like, he's the running back in Detroit I want after DeAndre Swift, because I think he's going to be the guy that that team actually has for a couple years. We'll see what happens with Williams. I know he's under contract, but we see this kind of stuff happen all the time where maybe Jamal Williams gets traded or keeps getting beat up. Jamar Jefferson, I think the price is going to be more than fair. If somebody wants more than like a third or so, I'm not really interested. I'm not going out of my way to get Jamar Jefferson, but
no Jamal Williams in this game. 4% snap share.
Yeah, that's not so much, but I mean, I think like DeAndre Swift had more than 50% of the touches for the team. Something like that, like 60-something percent. Is that accurate? Does anybody know this?
Give me sounds right.
I mean, that's insane. I know he touched the ball like 42 times or something like that, but holy cow.
So I Jamar Jefferson was one of those players where I thought people went overkill with hitting him for his athleticism. He had some poor athleticism metrics, and it really hurt his draft capital, and it really hurt his fantasy stock. He was a second round pick at one point this offseason. And actually, he was probably a late first. There was some real Jamar Jefferson hype. He was late first.
I remember.
Yep.
And so what I've been really paying attention for was I was looking for him to get snaps, and he didn't get a single snap on offense until week six.
He has 14 snaps on the season.
In week seven, though, I went and put out a fourth-round pick, and I picked him up just because I think that – and I know it took Jamal Williams getting hurt and stuff, but that was all I wanted to see was like, hey, is he a total bust? Is he just never going to sniff the field? And what happens when he sniffs the field? And he sniffed the field a couple times, he scored two touchdowns. So I'm not saying he's that fourth – I could be burning a fourth-round pick. But he was very productive as a freshman at Oregon State. And I think sometimes we care too much about athleticism metrics. And so that's kind of something I tend to do with rookie running backs. And I'm happy. I think it's paid off already. That fourth round pick has paid off for me. I'm happy about it.
Would you pay a third as a DeAndre Swift owner?
I wouldn't, but that's just how I don't really handcuff like that.
I don't know if I would or not either. I'm trying to think and answer the question.
That fourth sounds right, Spaceman.
It just doesn't seem like anybody gives you anything for a fourth anymore, though.
Nobody wants four. Like, fourth round picks is just like, oh, I'll throw in a fourth. But it's surprised we even have fourth round picks anymore.
Some leagues have five.
It's like pennies. People don't want pennies.
Number nine, Chuba Hubbard, still making the list with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, 10.95 points, 9 attempts, 27 yards, and a touchdown. Number 8, Kyle Pitts, tight end 10, 14 points, 4 receptions, 7 targets, 60 yards. Kind of falling off a little bit here. Number 7, Elijah Moore, wide receiver 13, 15.4 points, 3 receptions, 6 targets, 44 yards, and a touchdown. So noted, the same amount of targets as Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he only brings in 3 of them. 44 yards. And a touchdown.
But he also has 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Oh, I'm excited about Elijah Moore.
Yeah, he's starting to get eyes open. Even in redraft, people are starting to pick him up now. Little mini breakout happening here. Let's see what happens.
Didn't you call that Finero like 2 weeks ago, or was it?
No, I did the opposite, Spaceman. So this is the deal. I decided that this season that the contrary to whatever I say comes true. So I just shit on Elijah Moore literally before he went on this little mini run. I would say the last 3 games, and I said I'm done with Elijah Moore until he shows me something. I said that 3 weeks ago, and that's the week that Swags picked him in predictions, and he hit the top 12. And I think he's been in the top 12 since I said that.
Panero's a sacrificial lamb.
Yes. I own voodoo. A lot of Elijah Moore. Whatever I got to do. Chicken voodoo, sticky penises, it doesn't matter. Whatever works.
I'll stop at the sticky penis. That's what I'll say.
Nice.
Rookie fever trivia. So do you guys want a hard one or an easy one to start?
Or a sticky one?
You got to get it out of the way.
A hard or a soft one?
Your head is in all the right places this evening.
Which head?
So, trying to read.
You can do it.
Dave, do you want a hard or an easy question?
Does it involve pronouncing a running back's name?
It potentially.
No, I don't care. I'm up for anything.
All right. This will be a group effort then for you guys.
Ooh.
You guys do this together. Five
can
players.
Can we talk it out?
Sure.
Okay.
Five players have been in the top 12 eight times or more. How many of those five players can you guys name together?
So Chase, Harris,
Pitts.
Yep.
Ooh,
yep,
Pitts eight? Okay. All right.
Two more.
And how many times? Like, they've been in the top 12 eight times or more?
Eight times out of 10. Devonta Smith can't be eight. He had some stinkers. I'm going to say not Devonta Smith.
Michael Carter.
Five for Devonta
Smith. Yeah. Let's see Michael Carter.
Michael Carter is eight, yep.
Oh, you know Elijah Mitchell maybe, Spaceman? Or is he late to the game?
He's close. I bet he's at like six or seven.
Okay.
It's tough with the points per carry.
You know what? I think we got to say Waddle.
Have we not said Waddle?
I don't think we did.
Waddle is seven.
Oh,
damn it.
How about Chuba Hubbard?
Nope, close. Javonte Williams.
Really?
Okay. All right.
Yep. Huh. Has been in the top 12 eight times.
Huh.
They all haven't been pretty and sexy, but he's squeezed his way in somehow.
He's been consistent.
Yep. So.
According to Twitter, he's the sexiest man alive.
This is very true.
Number six. I thought the sexiest man alive was Elijah Mitchell, running back 20, 15.85 points, 27 attempts. That's a lot of attempts. 91 yards. He will be out this week. Number five, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver 12. Sorry, go ahead.
He's really grinded. Those were not easy touches either. Those are hard-fought yards. That was some tough-nose running.
It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend without him and if they give Trey Sermon an opportunity or everybody seems to be going out and picking up Jeff Wilson. He seems to be like the flavor of the week. So I'm curious to see how it plays out. Rashad Bateman, wide receiver 12, 16 points, 6 receptions, 8 targets, 80 yards. I would say if there's somebody that's grown on me over, say, the course of his playing time, it's definitely Rashad Bateman this season.
Did you guys see that catch he had?
Yeah,
one-handed. That was nice.
It makes me think, because I remember like talking about Hollywood when he first came into the league and his speed, and I've always been less than enthusiastic about Lamar Jackson's accuracy and kind of saying like, oh, maybe a fast guy can just go get him. But then you see Bateman do that, and that's what actually Lamar Jackson needs, is somebody that's athletic enough and can move endies fast and make those kind of plays and make up for
Wide receiver that can make his quarterback even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, beautiful catch. I'm actually surprised you guys don't have more to say about Bateman. So I'm moving along. I think Dave's probably still has a little bit of a man crush on Michael Carter, running back 13, 22.2 points, 16 attempts, 39 yards. That's not that great. One touchdown, four receptions, six targets, 43 yards. Noted, six targets, four receptions, just like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He is now in PPR, the rookie RB4 in scoring. That's not true. I think it's RB5. He's the RB5 now in scoring, but he's scored more fantasy points in PPR than Kyle Pitts, which is, I was not, you know, I, if you guys remember, I had Kyle Pitts as my high scorer, I think, for, as in our predictions, and he has Michael Carter, who I did not see happening, has more points than Kyle Pitts at this point.
More targets than Alvin Kamara.
So, Dave, are you buying the dip
on
Michael Carter?
I don't feel a dip with him this week.
Are you buying the dip, like the chip dip? Like, it's like a good thing. Like, are you buying the dip? Like, do you believe in it, Dave?
I think if
don't make me explain my freaking stuff.
I think it's usually a negative thing. Like, oh, you're buying
I hear you in football terms. Sure. Yeah.
That's not what he meant.
But context is so hard for me. It's not in the spreadsheets, but, it's tough. I have mixed feelings. His targets, his usage. I know there's not a lot of sexy names to be in the Jets backfield right now, for him getting this kind of usage, it's at least something. He's got a 56% opportunity share, which is, that's hell. I mean, Zeke has a 58% opportunity share. So I'm not saying he's like Zeke or anything, but it's just, I'm lukewarm on him. I was very cold. I stuck my nose up at him in all situations in the offseason. And I feel like I've come around. I'd rather be targeting Michael Carter than Javonte Williams, just because of the price gap. That's for sure.
What about you, Finero? I know you were pretty hard on him weeks back too, or at least thought you should move on for the future. Are you still in the same place?
I mean, it really depends on what happens when Zach Wilson comes back. Cause I feel like I repeat myself a lot, but it does seem to be a lot of those dump ball passes that really inflated his targets on the season. He had two or three games of that, and he's kind of come down to earth on those targets. They're still healthy though. Like, he's still getting them. So I think the Jets and the more importantly, the coaching staff has learned that works for them. So if Zach Wilson comes back, who's the future of the Jets, and does the similar thing, I'm going to start changing my tune on Michael Carter.
Number three.
A quick question, guys. Sorry, I know I'm throwing you off, Swags. But who, Lee, do you know where he ranks in rushing TDs among rookies?
Say it again, in attempts? Did you say attempts?
No, rushing. Michael Carter, where does he rank among rookies in rushing touchdowns?
Second?
Guess, yeah, Finero?
It's probably pretty high if you're mentioning it.
I just can't imagine him being above Harris.
He's tied for first with Harris. They both have four rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
I think that's – it hasn't been sexy by any means. It's just kind of like, what the heck is happening? Like, a Jackson, yeah. It's just weird. It's very lukewarm-y.
Number three, Devonta Smith, wide receiver 6, 24.6 points, 4 receptions, 6 targets, 66 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devonta Smith or Rashad Bateman, Dynasty?
I'll take Devonta Smith.
Yep, Devonta Smith. Top 5 wide receiver, not top 5 rookie wide receiver, 2 weeks in a row. Top 5 wide receiver, 2 weeks in a row. Wide receiver 26 on the season. Wide receiver 21 on receiving yards. Same amount of touchdowns as Justin Jefferson. He's on his uptick. He had, like I said, 4 games in the middle there that were kind of gross, but trying to get that 1,000-yard season.
So I know we were worried about his – there was a lot of chatter about wide receiver BMI in the offseason. He's played all 10 games for Philly so far, and he has a top 10 route participation at 93%, which is pretty – you know, for people worried about a small guy – He's been out there every snap, just about.
Thanks.
Running routes.
Thanks.
24%.
Yeah,
I know. I did it. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Well, I already said that stat on Tale 2 Arrivals, so I jinxed him before then. Now anyway.
This week or before?
It'll come out tomorrow. But yeah, 24% target share. And then he's top 12 in air yards, 14th in market share of air yards, and he's 5th in ADOT among all wide receivers with 40 targets. So yeah, he's not getting like the same – he's getting a bigger percentage of his offense than Waddle, but he's not getting the raw volume of targets as Waddle.
Man.
And so it's kind of a balancing act. But those targets are really healthy targets because he's being pushed down the field for a bigger, more explosive plays. Which if you're not going to have a high volume, you want to have a nice chunk of those juicy air yards, and that's what he's getting, which is exciting to see for. A player who another good wide receiver in this class. I'll take it. I'm very excited.
So this got me thinking about a couple things, but definitely I'm still thinking about those 8 targets that Rashad Bateman got that he made into 80 yards. We've been talking about rookie fever debates for a while, and I think I want to do this within the next couple weeks. I'm taking Bateman here, but I don't want to talk about it tonight.
Okay, fair enough.
One of you,
Bateman versus
Devonta Smith. Host that in a non-bias form, so you guys can talk about that amongst yourselves.
Sure.
Later. So one of you is going to have to host that non-biasedly, and then I will take the Bateman side. But you guys can't work together against me behind the scenes either.
So I'll try out as the host and say a sample question: which wide receiver who might be smaller in stature, but is the better wide receiver? Answer to the question.
No. You're clearly not biased.
See,
that's a leading question, Your Honor.
It's so easy to answer, though, we've just begun to see Bateman. Smith has had all season with Jalen Hurts, even through camp and preseason. Bateman didn't get that. I really think we're just beginning to see Bateman.
Smith missed a decent amount of preseason with an injury. I will throw that in there. We got to save this. We got to save this for the debate.
I tried, and then Dave's like, I got a sample question.
That was his way of auditioning for the host.
You won, Dave. You won.
All right. Dave's hosting. But I will say, though, I actually was thinking about this a little bit when I was ranking my rookies. And I actually think sometimes we focus too much on rank, not on our show, but in general, people care way too much about ranking rookies in the season. And you should care more about these rookies versus existing players, because it's fun. I really enjoy the Devonta Smith versus Rashad Bateman conversation. I think that's a good, important conversation to have. But I think what's more important is Devonta Smith versus Cooper Kupp. Probably it's Cooper Kupp, but you know what I'm trying to say is like these players that are existing and how to take advantage of that in your rookie yards.
Yeah.
While FC Eliminator Rookie Fever is fun, not everyone plays that format, and you can't trade that format either. But
the advantage last year would have been buying Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp didn't cost much throughout this last offseason at all.
I bought him for a first, and I got made fun of.
Yeah, see what I mean? Yep. So, but I know what you mean too. Even like sometimes you'll see people like heavily debating these rookies, and sometimes you're just like, wow, like these guys are like really just kind of shitting on each other. Like not even the players, just like each other, and just kind of to acknowledge, like even for me, like I think unfortunately what you build up through podcasting with your friends and getting close here and getting to know our takes, like I don't know, it's almost like we have a certain pass to be able to create a rivalry amongst the show between like Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, we'll say. But then like in reality, you have to look at it and be like, you know, they're both having a really good season, and that's really in the end what we want.
And what our listeners get too.
Absolutely. And like, so I'm still taking Jalen Waddle, but that doesn't mean there's not a situation where I want Devonta Smith on my team, or don't want Devonta Smith on my team, or wouldn't take him somehow after Jalen Waddle. It's not that I'm completely uninterested, but when we're talking about these rookies and comparing our favorites and who we think maybe has an edge for some reason, I think it's worth talking about, as long as you can also find a way to enjoy the success of the players you didn't think were going to do it, and maybe for some reason they're just not as appealing to you. So Najee Harris, running back 9, 26.8 points, 26 attempts, 105 yards, 4 receptions, 4 targets, 28 yards. Number 1, Ramondre Stevenson, RB1, 33.4 points. Dave noted earlier, like some scoring, he may have been running back 2, maybe even running back 3, depending on how you're playing. 20 attempts, though, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4 receptions, 5 targets, 14 yards. Dave, you threw out a tweet about Stevenson and Harris and the targets that Stevenson got this weekend versus the targets that Harris has never gotten. You went back to high school.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't really have a good sense of target numbers in high school. Those are really tough to get, so I did a little guesstimating at times. His max receptions is 8 receptions in a season, which was his junior year of high school. Now, if he was able to get 5 targets at some point, it seems like very unlikely. So I'm only like 98% sure on his junior year. But yeah, he has not had 5 targets in his game. I didn't go back to Powder Puff. So
he may
I was worried about. And that's not me saying like, hey, Ramondre's like better than Harris. That tweet is just like highlighting, hey, it was his first start and Harris got, and Ramondre got 5 targets, which Harris has never done ever. So it wasn't.
Do you guys have shares of Stevenson?
No,
I do. I got one. I like.
Are you selling or holding? What are you doing here?
It depends if I'm doing. If I'm competing, I'm going to hold. But if I'm like trying to build more assets, and I'm gonna sell him for a second.
He's your RB5. You're in contention.
I'm holding all. If I'm contending, I want all the RB bodies I possibly can have.
Yeah, I understand. I get that. I get that. Rookie Fever trivia. They just keep on coming. This is the first ever Rookie Fever trivia question that is purely opinionated. So I want you guys to rank in a 1.75 tight end premium. Let's say you're drafting today. 1.75 tight end premium. Najee Harris, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts.
Dynasty.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I'll go Jamar
like,
Chase.
Even try to imagine, like, you don't even have a team, maybe. You know what I mean? You're starting from scratch here.
Interesting scoring format. I think I'll still go Jamar Chase just because I'm a sucker for wide receivers. And I think he's a top five perennial top five wide receiver going forward.
So these are all great options. And
then who are you going after that?
Well, knowing now what we're doing with like how this tight end sits, like tight ends are pretty like tight end scoring is down on the season. It is not, and like Kelsey's taken a dip. Kittle's just stayed the same. I know he's been injured, but his points per game is the same. Waller's taken a dip. And by dip, I mean a poor thing, not going to the store and getting some tasty hummus snacks or anything swag. So I just want to clarify that. But so I think the issue is, but then all at the same time, we've seen running back be really, it's been ugly. Running back really drops off here. So I'm just going to go with Najee because I'm okay with trying to stream the tight ends, whereas it's tougher for with how this running back situation is. So I'll go with Najee 2 and Pitts 3. And I'm probably the minority. I know people love Pitts, and I don't, and I do too. But
dude, the best at each position in this class.
Yeah.
Feverish.
So I'm going to go Chase, then Harris, then Pitts, which I think Spaceman was that the same thing you just said?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm going a lot longer than you.
I'm going with Chase for the stability and the longevity. Same quarterback probably for the next decade. Chemistry all there. Harris, those kind of backs don't grow on trees. You could say the same thing about Pitts, obviously. But I think I'm on board as far as Spaceman. As I feel like a lot of my successful teams don't have to have a Kyle Pitts on them. Like I do know that. Like I have successful teams without a Kelsey or a Pitts on them. So I think I'm just going to go with those cornerstones at the running back and wide receiver position and try to make magic happen at the tight end position. 1.75 makes it tough, man.
I'm going Harris. Pitts, Chase.
Why Chase? It's
where
third?
You were in the offseason, right?
Probably pretty similar, yeah.
Why Chase third? Just curious.
I mean, honestly, I can get a wide receiver anywhere.
Okay.
I just have that mentality. Wide receivers don't matter. Jamar Chase is awesome. Jamar Chase is awesome. But I mean, in a 1.75 tight end premium, I'm shooting for the moon and hoping for the best here with Kyle Pitts in the future. By all means, having an amazing tight end rookie season, just not what people that really had all of their heart and soul into him wanted for the season. But by all means, a great rookie season for Kyle Pitts. The targets are there. He's got a lot of coverage that we're not. I mean, he's taken coverage like a wide receiver one at times. And then Harris, I think that even for somebody like me who has so much of my mind and my heart and soul invested into like DeAndre Swift and then Jonathan Taylor, I think that you have to put Najee Harris right in that same conversation for rookie or dynasty running backs, completely honestly. I want to attach myself to those positions that seem a little bit tougher to actually have, and the scarcity of maybe Kyle Pitts being what Kelsey was. I mean, Kelsey wasn't Kelsey in year one. So, and Jamar Chase, I like a lot, man. These guys are freaking studs. It's almost mean to rank them and try to rationalize it in this way. But to me, it's just comes down to, I'm going to find some wide receivers you guys don't like as much. You know what I mean? And sure. I mean, you guys in my leagues, and that's just how I play the game. So for me, it's, Harris, I had a hard time not putting Pitts number one. I'll say that. Everybody's going to think I hate Jamar Chase now.
No, I don't. I think you. I don't think so. I hope they don't, because I know you don't hate him. But what struggles for me too is I don't play any 1.75 premium, so it's tough for me to gauge that. I conceptually I understand it, but I don't play in any, so it's harder for me to appreciate that too.
So, but I mean, you've even seen though at times what, and I know this is, we're talking about a ceiling here. You've even seen in your standard scoring leagues how Kelce can help at that position in the scoring he does and the edge that he does. And I agree with like Fenero too, to a point where I've done fine not having Kelce's on my teams and stuff like that. But man, if I could build around that at the same time and have the stable positions that I enjoy, outside of this year, I feel like I've had a lot of success at hitting like cheap wide receivers. This year it didn't work out. I invested into like the Robbie Andersons of the world, and I've been trying to get like Jacoby Myers. That didn't work out. Things like that. Corey Davis. Those were my cheap investment wide receivers that I tried to add to my teams this offseason. It didn't work out as much in the past.
I was going to say, you've had a long history of that working out in the past, though.
Yeah. So I wish I got more Cooper Kupp. I feel like we should have known. We should have freaking known. But yeah, that's all I'm reckoning. Maybe spent a little bit too much time on that feverish rookie bets. It's time for rookie bets.
We have not done rookie bets since it was the recapping week 3. So our predictions were for week 4. Rookie bets, Trevor Lawrence over under 254.5 passing yards. All of us went under, but I was the only one that bet a full 300 on the confidence level. Jamar Chase, 68.5 receiving yards. Everybody went over, but Swags and Dave both went 300. Well, I chickened out at 2.
We had to get you back for after Trevor Lawrence.
And the rookie rewind player of the week, Laviska Shenault, 42.5 point receiving yards. I wasn't believing that at all. I'm the only one that went under. You two went over. He went for six catches for 99 yards in that game. That seems like eons ago. So I wound up in third place with 400 points. Swags, 600. And Dave, 500, because he just didn't bet enough.
Oh, so scared money don't make money.
So that confidence level, keep that in mind with these next three picks. The first one up, Devonta Smith, 60.5 receiving yards versus New Orleans. Dave, where are you going?
I'm going to go the under. I don't even know if what's his face there, Lattimore, is playing. Is he even still playing? Is he injured? I don't even know. But I just worry. You know, he had a great week last week, but he topped out at 60-something yards here, and it's not a very high-volume offense. You know, 6-7 targets a game is – I'll go the under, but I'll only win 100 because I'm a chicken.
Under at 100. Got it. Swags.
I am going the over.
Ooh.
And I'm going all in on this.
Wow. 300.
I'm just going to hedge my bets. He's gotten 60.5 yards in more than 50% of the games he's played. I'm going to just assume that he keeps it going and gets at least that 60.5.
New Orleans gives up the sixth least fantasy points to the wide receiver position, but Smith has only been under this number 4 times all year. So I'm going to go over for 200. So we got 2 overs, 1 under, and all different kinds of amounts for Devonta Smith. So we're kind of all over the place. This is way better than the last week where we only had one person go off the rail. All right, Justin Fields, 235.5 total yards. It's important, total yards. That's going to be passing and rushing. 235.5 total yards versus Baltimore. Swags, you're up first. Justin Fields.
I'm gonna take the over again. I think this is probably around like the floor for the total yards with Justin Fields. And I'll go all in again.
Wow. You're in complete control of this game right now with your 300. All right, over. Dave, where are you going?
Debit card.
Dave's still thinking, he's looking shit up.
Imagine if people thought we were really betting. They're just like, oh my gosh, like 300 every time.
So the last 3 weeks he's gone over this, I think, maybe under once. It's Baltimore who
last two games.
So I'm gonna go over, and I got a little cash in my pocket after last week. I know it wasn't as much as Swags, but you know, when you gotta start, once you start winning bets, you gotta start really gaining exponential games, I think, is the term. Exponential gains is the term that these DFS sharks like to say. I'm going to get some exponential gains and go 300 on Justin Fields, who I'm back, baby. I think it's coming out of the bye week. Nagy's had way too much time to overthink this. And yeah, I'll go Justin Fields.
Yeah, so Baltimore gives up on average 298.6 yards passing to the QB position. So that's favorable. And as you had said, Dave, Fields has done this twice, and they happen to be recent, but that's what we're seeing from Fields right now is recent. So I am going to go over. I'm a little less confident than the two of you. I'm going to go ahead 200 again. 200. Little less confident. Now we're going to go with the rookie rewind, Swags. Everyone's darling at the running back position, Jonathan Taylor. 115.5 combined rushing and receiving versus the number one defense against the run, Buffalo.
300 the over. 300 the over. Buffalo has faced one good running back all season, and it was Derrick Henry, and he went for 20 and 145. The best next running back was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who had like 20 yards against them. Mahomes was the leading rusher for KC with 61 yards that week. They play. If you look at who Buffalo has played for running backs, it has been no one. Not even like a Damian Harris level running back we're talking about here. It is nobody they've done. They can't handle the truth. And I was actually thought I was going over for just rushing yards. It's rushing and receiving.
Yep.
I'm mortgaging the house. So if I'm doing that, that means people should stay away from this. But that's what I'm doing.
Oh, no. Now I don't know what to do because I'm doing the same damn thing and I'm spending the last of my money. I'm going all in. My pockets are empty. You guys are going to have to buy me dinner, but I will get you back when I'm loaded next week. And we'll go. Yeah. We're going to go all out.
So you have now clean sweep. Devonta Smith over $300. Fields over $300. Jonathan Taylor over $300. I will also go over for Jonathan Taylor. Little less confident. Actually, I'm only going to go $100.
This is why I don't gamble. I'm stressing about this make-believe money right now.
This game needs to be tweaked just a little bit so we have some kind of budget that we start with.
Yeah, I know, and right?
Like you have so you like can't just $3,000, but exactly. You know, and you're still doing like $200, $300, but that's for your season. And then like right. You're either going to like win money or lose money. And then you're just like, oh, I can only bet $100 this week.
Like, No, I like that idea. And we call them dollars this time. We were calling them units in the first time we ran. This is not real money. Clearly, this is just our confidence level. It's representing our confidence level. It's worth less than Bitcoin.
Speaking of confidence level, holy cow, did we suck at our predictions last week? Maybe the worst week ever combined. A combined negative 59 points from the Rookie Fever crew last week on week 10 predictions. I came in last with negative 21 with Amon-Ra St. Brown actually being the only one that we guessed, but he was number 12, so he got me 1 point. I had Diami Brown, got me negative 12 with a donut. Then Finero came in last with, or second. I just wanted somebody to be last with me.
Yeah.
Negative 20 with Rondale Moore, only negative 6 for Moore, and then Anthony Schwartz, negative 14. Spaceman Jalen Darden with negative 8.
That drop to start things for the week. He dropped that and Brady got picked off because of the drop hurt. That I was like, oh, a great pick, Spaceman. That's what I went through my head.
It was a tough week. You could just tell last week. And then Kyle Granson, negative 10. And still somehow Spaceman pulls off the win. He will be picking the last again this evening with negative 18 points.
My lead continues to grow.
Oh, it's Rookie Fever trivia, Dave. Can you hold that thought, or do we need to get it out?
He was just talking about how he's growing.
Yeah, the lead is growing.
Oh, yeah. In we points. Could have held that thought, and hopefully you would have forgot about it. Two players have been in the top 12 each week they've played. Easiest question of the show.
Yeah.
Yep, you got it. You got it. You freaking won. You freaking won.
We have a winner!
That was the biggest winnings ever I'll tell you about it after the show, but pack your bags.
Nice.
My goodness. Non-eligible players for this week, as well as the top 12, Javonte Williams, Kenneth Gainwell, Pat Freiermuth, who's grown on me so much. I wish I had more of him. Finero can't pick Rondale Moore, Anthony Schwartz, Spaceman, Jalen Darden, Kyle Granson, myself, Diami Brown, with Dave. The Broncos and the Rams are on a bye week.
Oh, I actually thought there were no bye weeks. That's good to know.
He called you out just to make sure you would remember. You immediately admitted that you didn't.
No, I thought someone told me that I didn't have any teams to I read on Twitter. See, this is what happens. Get your news from Twitter. And someone says, no, nothing to worry about this week for bye weeks. I'm going to go find that person, and I'm going to at them for giving me the wrong information.
You should probably do
That's
that.
That's just like people saying there's nobody to pick up off waivers when all these rookies are under 50% ownership. You've got Robbie Anderson at 40% ownership. People are telling you there's nobody to pick up on waivers this week. Anyway, I'll be picking first for this is actually tough because you want to play all these mind games with everybody.
I know exactly what he's thinking about.
and I know that there's two guys that I particular on my mind that I am thinking about, and I know that likely one of them doesn't get back to me, but I also want to freaking win. So this feels so gross.
Ah,
I'm going to go with Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, of course you are.
I knew it was happening.
I thought for sure, like, so there's clearly a player I can't pick. That's a good shot here. And then there's Kadarius Toney. So I figure, okay, Swags will get the guy that I can't pick, and then I'll go ahead and pick Kadarius Toney. No. All right, fine. I'll go Nico Collins versus Tennessee.
I like that pick.
Yep. Coming out of the bye week.
He would have been the third one that was on my mind there. What did you say, Dave, coming out of the bye week?
Yeah, Nico coming out of the bye week, you know, rookies coming out of the bye. He's had some games. He had some injury concerns, not concerns, but he had dealing with an injury for a while early in the season. He's healthy coming out of the bye week. Maybe he takes a step forward in usage, which would be exciting. So I like that pick too, Finero. I'm just going to go out and
I'm going to run it in for you.
Yeah, I'll go. I was trying to play some head games, but I'm just going to go Rondale.
Yeah.
I hate that Kyler Murray's been injured. It's been not. Kyler being injured has made the freaking Cardinals no fun. It's depressing.
He wouldn't have made it back to you, Dave.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
He was who I was. I mean, so Feverish, would you have taken Rondale Moore over Nico Collins if you could have?
Yes.
I thought so. So for me here, I'm going to go with Trey Sermon. No Elijah Mitchell. I think we're getting a little bit too much love for Jeff Wilson this week. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Trey Sermon at least played. He would have been a better pick for me last week than Diami Brown. Not saying much, but I'm going to go with Trey Sermon.
We have a quarterback change in Carolina. I'm looking at both Tommy Tremble and Terrace Marshall. I just don't think Cam Newton has the arm to get it down to Terrace Marshall. So I'm going to go with a short throw touchdown to Tommy Tremble in the end zone versus Washington.
You just pissed Robbie Anderson off.
I think I've discovered a new trick, though, for this game, is that when you don't have anyone to pick, you pick a tight end because there just aren't as like many negative points. So, like last week with Kylan Granson, it didn't pay off. I didn't get like 3.5 points, but it only was negative 10. So I'm going to go Brevin Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee versus Tennessee.
And just go with tight ends and just risk it on tight ends because, you know, the idea is, well, he's had 10 plus routes the last two games, at least two targets in both those games. Why not?
Dave, I actually thought you were maybe going a little, and I don't hate that at all, or the strategy, mind you. And for the listeners, that's a Rookie Fever top 12 strategy. This isn't something we're advising for your lineups.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
But I thought you were going with John Bates.
I don't even think he's in my database, John Bates.
Yeah, I saw you pick him up, Swags, in a league, and I had to look it up myself.
Oh, no, he is. He's in the database. 47 snaps last week.
There you go.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. I think he's somebody to keep your eye on. And maybe, like Finero just mentioned, if it's a league that we are in, that's likely a deeper league, and he was available. So maybe if you have a spot, you know, or somebody trashy to drop, I don't know who's in your leagues or how deep you are, so I don't just want to say drop somebody to go pick him up, but maybe check it out. Worth a stash spot, maybe.
Anyone consider Khalil Herbert?
No.
I do. Who? Khalil Herbert.
Never heard of him.
You gotta have the strong W. Put some respect on it.
I thought it was a silent W.
I did consider him.
We somehow seems like we flew through a decent amount this evening. Whose week is it for the final thoughts?
Yours, sir, right?
Mine. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. And
that was pretty short.
And this is for everybody, and you guys too. You are awesome, and there's something that you can do better than anybody can do it. And you just have to find that something and go show everybody. But in general, I mean, even if it's not your best quality, you are awesome, and just go show people. That's all. I am at Swagzilla0G.
I'm the Feverish Finero. You can find me at Aardvark TV.
And I am at FF underscore Spaceman Dave Wright.
You can find this show over there at Aardvark TV and everywhere podcasts can be found.
We are at Rookie Fever. Finero wants to like wrap out of here. I can tell he's ready to just like hop on the mic. Dave, throw down the beatbox. Get ready for those Rookie Fever debates.
Go find us. Happen. Go find us. Sticky Stats.
And we are out. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right, rookie fever. When you kiss me. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Silence speech just unreal. Landing spot not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.